Our scripture reading for this morning is Psalm 90, verses 1 through 12, and I'll be reading from the ESV. The heading says, A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers, for we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would teach us to number our days. Lord, we go through this life so often just thinking that tomorrow is guaranteed, thinking that we're going to plan for 20, 30, 40 years from now. And while it's good to plan, Lord, we also need to know that that's no guarantee. Lord, our days on this earth could end today. They could end tomorrow. They could end 40 years from now. But Lord, we need to be prepared. Be prepared to stand before Almighty God. Lord, the question is, will we be prepared? Will we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior? Will we have trusted in Him? Will our eternity be set in that way? Certainly, Lord, if there are any here today who have not trusted in you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that even today the Holy Spirit would be working within them so that they see their need of you and they truly see their need to number their days. Lord, I pray this morning for Pastor Lamar as he brings us your word. Lord, I pray for our children's church teachers as they teach our children and teach all the youth. Lord, I pray that your word is brought mightily this morning. Lord, we continue to pray for our nation. Lord, we know that there's an election coming up, and obviously that is everything on the news, but Lord, we know it is in your hands. Lord, we know that we as a church desire to bless you and pray that this nation would bless you. So Lord, we thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen.
I had my sights on wanting to grow up, be on my own, and that was a goal of mine. Perhaps it was because of my mom. I might have to give that. She used to say, if you don't like it around here, you can get that out. And I said, Mother, one of these days, I am going to get out of here, but you have the advantage. I'm broke. But anyhow, she did that more when I was in college, not so much when I was in high school. She had her good days, but she had her rough days. And so I remember sometimes sitting there in study hall thinking, oh, will this day ever end? You know, will I get out? Well, you know, how long? You know, it's like the kid. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And they don't have that sense of time. Well, I did eventually get out of high school. I went in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s. That puts me back in high school, just to give some of you a little perspective, because I know that's ancient history to you. But And then, of course, working on the Ohio Turnpike at the Wyandotte Service Plaza, I worked midnights, and I didn't have the finances to live at campus, and I didn't necessarily want to live on campus there at Bowling Green. So I worked 40 hours a week on the midnight shift, and I went to Bowling Green full-time by day. It was quite an interesting couple-year ride, but I made it. I made it. Met Janice my senior year. Well, we worked together at the restaurant. That's where we met, but we didn't get romantic until my senior year, and then our spatulas. I worked midnight. She worked days. They must have clasped together. So my senior year, not only was I finishing up student teaching, but then I also was dating Janice, and then after several months of dating her, I knew she's the one. And so started teaching in 85. Nate came along in 86, a year later. And, you know, 34 years of teaching went by. And we worked at Beulah Beach, which was a Christian camp, for like 15, 20 years together, Janice and I. And wow, here I stand, 62 years old, looking back saying, where did the time go, you know? How did I get here at this point? I don't feel any older, but my body does remind me, you know, and also the doctor. I was talking with Tim. You go to the doctor and, you know, they say one thing's okay, but while we were in, you're checking under the hood, we'd like you to see a doctor about this and that. It's like, that's why I don't like going to a doctor, you know? Don't look under the hood. Shh. It's our little secret. You know, that's my prayer. Lord, I don't want to be on a bed of sickness for months and years. So when my time comes, can we make it quick? Because that's my prayer. That's the desire of my heart. Moses, who wrote the 90th Psalm, he's thinking about life in regards to the Almighty, in regards to eternity. So that's what I want to talk about today from his psalm, about numbering our days. What that means, and how do we do that? Join me in a quick moment of prayer. Lord, if I'm going to be effective, it's because you are at work in me. Otherwise, Lord, I'm just a sounding gong. I'm an empty vessel. And so I pray that, Father, you will anoint my thinking. Help me to use the word in a way that is proper application. That, Father, will have powerful impact in my life and in all of our lives that are present here. I thank you for every precious person gathered here in this room. Souls that are never going to die because you have created us in your image. There is an eternal component in each of us that will live on even when this mortal body possibly conks out on us. You are God. There is no other. Our very existence, our very lives are in your hands. Our destiny is under your control because you are sovereign. And you are seeking and saving lost people, but you also have a greater plan that is at work in the world to bring back the Lord Jesus, to reign over the world, and Lord, to be King of kings and Lord of lords. To many, Jesus was a loser when he died on the cross, not understanding his higher purpose at that moment was to die for sin. But make no mistake, the Lion of Judah will return. And he will make Israel great again. He will make planet Earth great again. Nothing is beyond your ability to control or to fix. And so, Lord, with that knowledge, I hope it encourages people. Because, Lord, that's part of my ministry, is to encourage, Lord, the disturbed and to disturb the comfortable. And so, Lord, I pray you'll use me in this way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Moses did write in verse 10, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Little has changed from then to now when you think about average lifespan. But you know, I have to remind you that if you go back to Genesis, before the flood in Noah's time, in Genesis chapter 5, you take all of those patriarchs that are listed there. The average age before they died was 912. Oh, come on, Lamar. Do you really believe that? Yes, I believe the Bible. I bow my intellect at the altar of Scripture. If it says it, I believe it. I don't sit there and say, well, that can't be. How can this be? God has recorded it. 912 was the average age when those individuals died. But what God told Adam did come true. It talked about how they lived, how they birthed different sons, and then it gave their age and says, and they died. And he died. And he died. What God had said was coming true. You know, events in life can have a profound impact on us. Now, I wasn't around when Pearl Harbor was bombed. What happened on Sunday, December the 7th, 1941, just before 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, life was normal until about 8 a.m. And then suddenly Japanese planes were dropping bombs all over the harbor there. When it was all said and done, 19 U.S. Navy ships in the Pacific Fleet were destroyed or on fire. 8 of them were battleships. 2,403 people went into eternity on that day, of which 68 were civilians. For some of us, many of us, you might remember back to 2001, when 19 militant terrorists turned our airplanes into missiles. Happened on a Tuesday, September the 11th. It began at 8:46 in the morning. I remember I was teaching fifth grade. School was about to get started and didn't know what was going on. The principal went around with little slips of paper that there had been a terrorist attack. Pretty simple note, do not turn your televisions on and upset the students. Pretty clear. Now, my daughter was at Old Fort. The teachers all had the TVs on glued, and she was only in third grade. Traumatized her, right? But in Fremont, we were under orders. Shh. So I thought, what's going on? So I thought, oh, it's okay. Did my morning routines. Fortunately, we had a special. I don't know if it was art or music, about 9:15. So after I took attendance, submitted all that online, all that stuff and everything, lined them up, take them down to wherever they needed to go, I ran back to my classroom, shut the door, turned on the TV set. What is happening? And there, the North Tower was smoking and in flames, the top part there. At 9:03, United Flight 175, just a few minutes later, crashes into the South Tower. And then eventually another plane went down there in Pennsylvania and at the Pentagon. It was unbelievable. That day, 2,974 people went into eternity. Minutes before all this happened, it was just life as usual. And then we know just a few weeks ago, President Donald Trump, he's at Butler Farm there in Pennsylvania on stage getting ready to do his rally. He takes the stage at 6:03 p.m. and 8 minutes later, bullets are flying, striking him in the ear, but striking a gentleman who shielded his wife and his daughters. Wow, how quickly life can change in an instant. So, I'm not trying to get you all depressed here, but in light of our mortality, Moses has this request of God recorded in verse 12. Moses asked of the Lord. Remember, Psalm 90 is his prayer. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. You know, of all the calculations that we might be called upon to make, this one has got to be the most challenging. After all, David reminds us in Psalm 139, verse 16, you saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days formed for me when as yet there was none of them. That is the amazing thing about God that my little pea-sized brain cannot fully comprehend. A God who is so awesomely magnificent, a God who there is no equal to, would actually know about our existence before we were even conceived. You know, I have worked with people whose parents sometimes can say the meanest things. I never planned on you. I never wanted you. Neither one of my children were planned. But I recognize them as gifts of God. There was never a question, you know, even though we didn't plan, you know, necessarily, that 3 months or 4 months into marriage we were going to make a baby. You know, when we found out that Nate was on the way, we made necessary preparations. It wasn't a matter of do we want him or not. We recognize him as a gift from God. And same for my daughter. If God told you when you would leave this earth, how would you take such news? Would it motivate you to make the most of the time that you had left if you knew when and how you were going to exit this life? Would it motivate you to do that? Would such knowledge overwhelm you and depress you and make you anxious, counting down the days that you had left, you know? You know, many live in denial. They spend their years pretending that it's always just going to go on as it always has. So they avoid making a will. They avoid going to a life insurance agent because, after all, I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm vibrant. And sadly, a lot of young people fall victim to such thinking, giving little thought to eternity. And then how my heart is grieved when I see commercials for St. Jude's Hospital. You know, it's bad enough when I was watching my brother-in-law in his 60s fight cancer. But he would even tell you, it's really tough to be on a cancer ward and to watch 5, 6, 7-year-olds battle it. He thanked God for the years he had compared to the fact that they're so young. Or, you know, some young people, like in Chicago, they live in such crime-ridden neighborhoods, the gang violence and so forth, it almost gives them a doom and gloom kind of perspective. And that's why some of them, they join gangs and do what they do, because they've become so calloused, so indifferent to the reality that they're living in. And yet Moses is making a connection in his prayer that when we number our days, when we recognize that we are mortal, we can get a heart of wisdom. So he tells us how. How can we number our days? Well, first of all, if you have your bulletin outline, you have to begin by recognizing God is eternal and we are mortal. You got to start at the basics there. I mean, for those who have to go to AA meetings, I mean, what's the first thing for a person to get help as an alcoholic? You got to admit you're an alcoholic, you know? You've got to seek help. If you're living in denial, I don't have a problem, I'm good. Well, you're not going to get help with the struggle you're going through. So it is with you and I. Think about what the Lord Jesus would ask people. Yesterday, I had the privilege of officiating a wedding for two of Nate's friends that met at work there in Fremont. And so I knew a year ago that they wanted me to do this for them there in Tiffin. But that's the thing I even remind them, that when you build your life centered on Jesus Christ, he'll not only bless you, but then also eternity. Because I asked them the question, you know, people say, Jesus said this, what does it profit a person if you gain the whole world, but you forfeit your soul? You thought about everything down here. Bank accounts, summer homes, this and that and all. But you never thought about the fact that, guess what? What did Moses say? Our days may be 70, 80. Some of you have done really well. You've gone beyond that. Praise God. I saw a lady. She had a 115th birthday here in America. She's the oldest woman in the country, they say. Wow, that's amazing. She definitely exceeded the 70 or 80 years. Moses recognizes the eternal nature of God. Think about what he wrote in verse 1. He said, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. So you've seen generation after generation after generation. He said in verse 2, before the mountains were born, before you even brought forth the planet, the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And in verse 4, he says, 1,000 years in your sight is just like a day that has gone by. That's sometimes why we get frustrated with God. He's eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. And we are mortal. So when we say, Lord, you got to help me out. You got to meet my needs. You got to do this. You got to do that. And he doesn't do it right when we say it. We get a little upset with him. But he's got a perspective that you and I don't have. And you and I have to understand, because he's eternal, because we are mortal, that's where patience comes in. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. I don't pray for patience. Lord, teach me to be patient. Life will do that without you praying for it. Amen to that? Come on. I mean, some of you have been around long enough. There are things that have happened in your life that if you were a Hollywood producer, ain't no way I'd put that in my script. I don't want to go through that trouble. I don't want to go through that trial. In our 9 o'clock Bible hour, we were talking about what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians to the Thessalonians, because he wrote 1 Thessalonians as a follow-up to his visit, his teaching them, him being with them, and then he went on to minister elsewhere, but he kept up with the congregation he helped to found. Well, in between his visit and that letter, what happened was some people came along and were saying, you know, you're being persecuted because the day of the Lord has come. You're going through the wrath of God. You missed the train there on the rapture thing that he talked about in the first letter. Sent him into a panic. And he had to write and calm them down and remind them that wrath of God is for the unbeliever, not for the child of God. And the fact that their faith was being tested, he reminded them, it's not because of God's wrath, it's because of your testimony with Jesus Christ. When you and I identify with Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, that rubs people wrong. Because in their ecumenical way, let's all join hands and feel the warm vibrations flow through our fingers. I saw a commercial this morning talking about love. Let love win. And I know what that's code for. Listen, God is the author of love. The love that we talk about down here sometimes is nothing more than lust. And it's not the higher love where God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus Christ. One of the denominations used to have a slogan, open hearts, open minds, open hands, you know, and I know what that's code for, but I remind you, Jesus is very open. All you who are heavy laden, are burdened by sin, come to me and I will save you and set you free. Jesus is very inclusive, but he's at the same time very exclusive. There is one way to the Father, and he goes, it's through me. There's one mediator, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy. It's the man Christ Jesus. And so Moses understands that an eternal God is directing the course of events in history. Not only the history of the world, but the history of you. Remember what David said? Before any of the days came to be, you knew what was going to happen. Moses had witnessed the awesome power of God when the Hebrew people crossed the Red Sea and the army of Pharaoh went for a swim for the last time. There has never been a time when God was not. There never will be a time when God will cease to be. All that he is today, he has always been, and he forever will be. His existence never changes. But Moses acknowledges that because we are mortal, we live under the condemnation of sin. He writes about that in verse 8. In his prayer, he says to the Lord, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to life, you and I were never given a blank check where we fill in the number. That's totally in God's hands. So when you and I understand life's short nature, it becomes important because many decisions that we make have lasting consequences. That was one of the struggles as a teacher, trying to get young people to understand. You're not alone. It's not just your body, your choice. There are others that you are connected to. The decisions you make will not only affect you, but affect all those who love you. The Bible, that's why it says, when you hear the gospel, when you understand that Jesus loves you and died for you, you've got a choice to make. Do you believe it or do you reject it? When you understand, that's why the Bible over and over again says today is the day of salvation. Because you and I don't have the checkbook where we fill in the day, the amount. Secondly, if we're going to number our days, we have to live each day with eternity in mind. We hate death. I don't like going to funeral homes. I'm pretty sure most of you don't either. But when you go to a cemetery, death has a pretty good track record, does it not? My dad used to say, when we go by a cemetery, how many people are dead in there? I fell for it a couple times. Dead, I don't know, 1,000? He goes, all of them. Oh, all of them. Okay, I get it. All right, everybody in there is dead. We fear death because we were created to live forever. Adam and Eve were to live in perfection with God forever. And the children they had were to enjoy that as well. But because Adam was given dominion over the planet, he was God's representative on planet Earth. God had vested authority in him. And he was warned. You eat of the forbidden tree, you will sin, you will die. And not just you, but all your descendants. Despite what people might believe, Jesus was very clear about the way to heaven. Sadly, and we're looking at various religious systems on Wednesday night, and Nate's doing a wonderful job of bringing some of this, because we don't realize of the 8 billion people that live on the planet, billions of people that are caught up in some of these religious systems, as good as they try to be, they really offer no hope. I'm hoping you'll take note that when I heard that Janet Shiesta, Daniel's daughter, is now in the country for a few weeks, we had an opening. And so when Beth Williman asked, do you have any opening to have her come and share her testimony, how she came to trust in Jesus Christ? And she's a very much a part of her dad's ministry. And I thought, yes. And of course, I only had the one date. It's next Sunday. So I hope you'll come back and maybe invite people to come and hear. But sadly, religious thought, apart from Christ, it's nothing more than a sedative. It numbs us to reality. It causes us to think, I'm okay, you're okay. But then when we get to the end of things, if it bypasses Jesus Christ, who came from the Father, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I provide salvation to all who trust in me. The wrath of God that we see depicted in Mel Gibson's The Passion of Christ. That movie did a great job of showing how torturous Roman execution was. Jesus took that wrath, and so that you and I, who put our faith in him, will never, ever have to take the wrath of God. That's why I don't worry about the wrath of God, living through the wrath of God, because he took it so that I would not have to take it. You see, in Islam, remember, Daniel Shasta said it, all good Muslims believe that everybody, when they die, go to hell. And only if your good works outweigh your bad will Allah take you into heaven. My God went to hell so that you and I would never have to go there. Amen? Amen. Faith in Christ means that we get something from the Lord, that heart of wisdom that Moses talked about. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You have to read it if you haven't read it in a while. But in 1 Corinthians 1, the Apostle Paul makes the point that when you come to faith in Christ, Jesus is the power and the wisdom of God. This is what he says about Jesus. He's not only the power of God, he is the wisdom of God. Think about it. You give your heart to Jesus Christ, and suddenly a reality opens up to you that you never experienced before. You see things going on in the world, but in a different perspective. Faith in Christ means the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, the third person of the Trinity. He assures you that you belong to Jesus. Obviously, his living in you saves you. And he helps you to ready yourself to meet God one day face to face. Jesus called him our teacher. He also said that he will open up biblical truth to your understanding. I have met several people that said before they trusted Christ, they would read the Bible and there were things in it that quite frankly they couldn't figure out. Well, of course not. Because it's a spiritual teaching that comes from the Almighty. And unless you have the Holy Spirit within you, helping you, guiding you, you're not going to understand things. You might understand the story of David and Goliath and a man being swallowed by a great fish, all of that. But you're going to miss those finer points. You need heavenly help. And that starts by putting your trust in Jesus Christ. This is how you and I get a heart of wisdom. So living in light of eternity helps you and I to recognize I'm not in charge. God is sovereign. He loves me, and he's working things out, not only for my good, but ultimately, remember, to make Israel great again and to make this world great again. And because you and I love him and trust him, even though we go through adversity, it doesn't take away the fact that we're on his team. We're part of that plan. If we consider every day part of God's plan and allow it to teach us to take our eyes off of immediate circumstances, we can set our minds on God, who has purposely placed us in the midst of our current season so that we might grow closer to him. And as we go through our days, actually live for him, making a difference. There are people who say, you Christians, I will be glad when you are out of here someday. I just wish you would sit down, go to your church buildings, do your little singing and your little praising, but when it comes to the public square, shut up. Well, I've often been told, be careful what you ask for. Because one day, when Jesus comes for his own, and they have to go through a 7-year tribulation, they'll get that prayer answered, but it's not going to be what they thought it was going to be. This brings me to my final point. Numbering our days means that we who love the Lord, we recognize that we are accountable to God, and we use our time and resources to glorify him. That's a question in the Westminster Catechism. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, ever, ever. Sorry, I'm doing a Joe Biden whisper. Forever! He gets real loud, and then he whispers. It's kind of creepy. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. If you love Christ, because I love Janice, because I love my kids, I go to bat for them. They need a few bucks, I give them that. I help, I do what I can. Why? Because I love them. Sometimes when we had food and I knew it was a favorite, I would take less because I knew that either Nate or Melissa would enjoy the greater portion because that was one of their favorite foods. You see, that's what you do when you love someone. So it is with Jesus. We sacrifice. We recognize that our lives are in his hand. And so we want to bring honor and glory. That's why John wrote in his one of his epistles there that we don't want to be ashamed when Jesus returns. Because some people live life just thinking about uno, numero uno, one, right? Themselves. And then the Lord's going to come and it's like being caught with your pants down. Awkward, embarrassing. I want to be living in a spiritual way that when, no matter when he comes, listen, I'm good to go. I'm ready. I'm not doing something secretly like Moses was talking about how God sees all things, even the secret things. God made you and I for a purpose. He gives you the desire that you need to fulfill that purpose. And it only comes when you are actively loving and praising him. William MacDonald, he's got a real thick commentary I have at home. He writes some great things. This is how he put it, and I close with this thought. living in light of eternity, he says, it should make us value every day of our lives and spend each one in obedience to him and in such a way that it will count for eternity. You, Jesus said, are light and salt. Your interactions with people, neighbors, family, work associates can either make a positive difference for the glory of God or it can turn them off. People are watching. They're looking for hope. They're looking for answers. And since you love the Lord, keep that in mind. Count your days in a way that you know that it's a gift from God. It's a blessing from God. And you use that blessing to try to be an encouragement and to make a difference in the lives of others. God can take people from all kinds of backgrounds, good homes, bad homes, no homes, and he can save us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and change us and redeem us and bring us together. It kind of reminds me when I used to watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Remember the Island of Misfit Toys? All these little toys that nobody wanted. That's what you and I were. We're like misfit toys. And Santa comes along and rescues them and gives them a home. Jesus comes along and rescues us and makes us part of the family of God. That's true love. Not what I saw this morning in some public commercial about let's all love. I'm not saying let's go out there and hate, but at the same time, you're missing the point. Greater love from God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, for your goodness. And Lord, I pray for your people. I don't know what we're going to face tomorrow, but I know you who face tomorrow. And who knows what eternity is going to be like. You know what our days are going to be like. May we rest in you. May we look to you. And Lord, may we recognize that we only have so much time down here on earth. Every cemetery reminds us that all those who lived before us, they had a day, Lord, where they left this world and went into eternity. But because of Jesus Christ, we know that absent from the body means present with the Lord. So we're in good hands, better than the prudential people. Be with your people. Guide them. Remind them of your love. Lord, get them through whatever they're going through because you are God and there is no other. And we love you. And we want to trust you, Lord, for all the days in front of us. In Jesus' name, amen.